It's time once again to step out, step up, and step into the Coming Out Lounge, a safe space to be you and your truth with Coming Out Coach Rick Clemons. Rick's expertise in the coming out process has helped hundreds of men and women ignite their inner desires to powerfully step out of the closet and into the light of living authentically as gays and lesbians. Freeing you from the feelings of guilt or shame, Rick offers take action tips for basking in the glow of self-love, easy to implement tools for wrapping yourself up in the warm embrace of self-acceptance, and take it to the bank advice on how to step courageously into a powerful, purpose-filled life on the other side of the closet doors. Each week, the Coming Out Lounge brings you heartwarming coming out stories, insights for living authentically as a gay or lesbian, and challenges you to step out of the ordinary and into your extraordinary life. Pull up a chair, cuddle up with the truth of who you've always been, and let's spend an hour in the Coming Out Lounge discovering how to energetically step out, step up, and step into living your truth. Here's the host of your show, Coming Out Coach Rick.
Hello, Closet Busters. It is time once again to stop that dwelling, get out of your closet, and step out and step up and step into living your powerful truth. How about some high fives today for truly being yourself, finding yourself, stepping into your shizzle, and I'll explain what that is momentarily, but really finding the way to get back in touch with your inner self, that little boy, that little girl, that child that you used to be, because you know what? It is time to come out and play, and we're going to play with our inner children that we left behind. You know that one that may very possibly still be left in the closet that we thought we've stepped out of in our quest to be fully accepting of our sexual self. You know, there's a lot of stories we carry within each of us that are needing some healing around our coming out journeys and our life experiences. And those stories that we may have been carrying since we were little teeny tiny children. They're the wounded stories about who we are and how the world sees us as gays, as lesbians, bisexuals, transgenders, but most of all, how the world sees us as human beings. And when we allow this to happen, our energy flares up because it's our wounded child that's still asking for help and healing. And that's why I brought a really special friend of mine. She's an intuitive healer, writer, and artist. Her name is Robin Hallett. She's going to be joining us today on the Coming Out Lounge to really invite us to go play with our inner child and let that inner child be healed. She operates straight from the heart with kindness, compassion, and she's got a really magical touch that helps change people's lives in a very short time by honoring their shizzle. I really want to welcome my dear friend to the podcast, Robin Hallett.
Hello. That was beautiful.
Oh, well, beautiful ladies deserve beautiful intros, don't they? So.
Yeah.
But I'm so glad you're here, and you are another one of my beautiful friends that I made in last year when we were at Jonathan Fields' beautiful Good Life Project camp. And I remember walking into your workshop and going, I'm not sure what to expect, except a few campers had already kind of said, if you go, just be ready, you may cry. And cry we did, but cry tears of joy. So let's talk a little bit about that shizzle stuff, because I already gave the listeners a little bit of a preview. And so let's talk about, what is shizzle? What is Robin's version of shizzle?
So my version of shizzle, and it's just my fun way of saying, you are a spark of the divine flame. You know, you're a child of God, or however you want to look at this, there's this massive universe and you're a part of it. And there is absolutely nothing about you that's on accident. Everything about you is on purpose. But as you so beautifully said, there are pieces in us that are locked in the closet. We're scared, we're ashamed, we're afraid. We have been wounded. We have. Nobody escapes childhood fully intact.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so we have pieces that we are working on. So the shizzle is the sparkle, the shine, the authentic self that is only us. It's unique to us and only us. And it's part of what we're here to be in the world. So that's the shizzle.
And I love it because, you know, oftentimes when I'm having these conversations with my gay and lesbian brothers and sisters who are really, really struggling with thinking about coming out or in the midst of it, or they've come out and they're still really struggling, one of the things I always bring to them in my own words, which isn't shizzle because I wouldn't steal your shizzle, but is that piece of you are unique. You have this spark that is you, and part of that spark is your sexuality. And when we are forced into pushing that down, and it's not just sexuality, because I want to make sure we really become inclusive in this conversation today. Mm-hmm. It can be that I'm too fat or I'm not pretty enough. Whatever that stuff is, each of those things are part of our beautiful, powerful shizzle. And I know that when you work in your workshops and you work with your clients one-on-one, it's about really bringing this forward. So when you're working with someone, Robin, and I know you're very intuitive as you have done work with me, and we both realize, wow, we're both really intuitive when it comes to this stuff. But when you're working with someone who is really struggling with accepting that piece of this is me, this is my unique piece, what's something you really try to help them do to bring that forward and own it and honor their shizzle?
That to just start to tune to how much upset and anxiety and discomfort that story is creating. The resistance to it, the fear of it, how much we end up protecting it in that way, and to start to realize, wow, I do not want to be about this negative story about myself. It's like a false altar that we sit down and worship at. I call those tiny altars. Mm-hmm. We sit down and worship at this tiny altar, and it's not even what we believe in. You know, well, at the core of ourselves, we believe in peace and ease and freedom. Everybody does.
Yeah, and I think this is so powerful what you just said, this peace and ease and freedom that we so willingly just give away to someone else to control and to be in control of our lives, when in reality, we're born to be at peace. We're born to be in ease. And then suddenly, somebody comes to little Ricky or little Robin or little Joe or little Susie or whomever and says, but you can't do that. You can't be that. You're not okay. And I know this work for you has come from really looking at this in your life and with other friends. And this is why it was so important to me to bring this forward to the coming out journey people, because I know how powerful it's been for me the couple of times we've talked to really step back and talk to my little Ricky. So why do you find this such an integral piece of the work you do, is helping people go back to that inner child? Why is that important for us?
Well, if I can I talk to you about our time together?
Absolutely, absolutely.
So the thing about you is, like, you have this big vision and you have a big mission in life and you're very, very focused and driven. And the one thing that I kept saying to you, and it's hard because you're so amazing and you're so sure about what you're here to do. So you're driven in that way where you're like, do, 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 do. And the little boy in you who's like, hey, be, I need some love. I need some time. So I kept saying to you, I see you on the stage. And what? There's a spark that's missing. There's a guy behind the curtain who is waiting for you to take his hand and bring him up with you. And that's the little boy.
It is.
That's the little boy.
Absolutely.
And that's the piece. So I end up working with people who are very, very resistant to going in and doing the work. Look what you said. People said, take her class. She's amazing.
All right.
But be prepared. She's going to make you cry. You know, and it's like, why are we so afraid to cry? You know, that's another piece to vulnerability. It's scared to be real out in the open. What happened to me as a little girl? What happened to you as a little boy? Out in the open. I know I got clobbered.
Yeah, yeah. Repeatedly. Well, I think we all get clobbered, and that's why we become resistant. If I come out of this closet, I'm going to get clobbered. Well, that's a possibility, but there's also the possibility that you'll walk out of that closet and you'll be embraced, you'll be loved. There's a possibility that you'll go thrive and you'll do something powerful and something great. And I think this is when we honor this piece of vulnerability and fear can be as beautiful for us as the excitement and the joy that we think. And, you know, I have to truly share this with people today, that the couple of sessions you and I did were right in the throes of me starting to land on the new endeavor I'm working on, the Just Be You Revolution. And we were, I mean, literally, it was just being birthed. And I was really struggling. And you're right. I'm a doer. I can make stuff happen in a heartbeat. Tell me to do, like, and I'm like, boom. Just tell me, where do we go? Let's make it happen. But what I realized in that, and especially from having done the work with you, was I can do, but I forget to be in it. And it was about probably 3 months later when I really felt the pull that this thing was going. This is going somewhere. And I thought, I can't be Mr. Just Be You if I'm not being me, if I'm not being in this. And it wasn't out of ego or anything. I had to feel, and even as I just said that, I got horrible chills all over. I shouldn't say horrible, wonderful goosebump chills across my body, because that's the being. Realizing, I may get on some pretty freaking big stages here in the next year, and all I have to do is just go out there and be Rick.
And you just nailed it. When you listen back to this, you will hear it again and again. You just nailed it, because a man who takes the stage in the name of helping, shining, chiseling, and healing, think about this, the service you're here to provide to the world. And everybody listening, the service you're here to offer in the world, if you're vacant in your heart space as you're telling other people, be free, be who you are, don't apologize, you don't have to be afraid, you can step out. But you're not taking up residence in your sacred sliver of the universe. Who do you help? Mm-hmm. Who do you serve?
Yeah.
No one.
Right. And right. And if you deny yourself from this, you deny yourself from others. And this is something that's become really big in a lot of the work I've been doing with people over the last few months, which is so interesting how the higher power, the universe, God, whatever it is that you hold true for you. When you really say, okay, I'm open and I'm allowing, that suddenly those same kind of people start to show up in your life. Those situations show up for you where it says, yes, you are definitely doing what you're meant to be doing. In fact, that's the reason that the Coming Out Lounge that we're recording right now has taken on a new set of breath in the last few months, because I realized I should have never walked away and stopped doing this. This is part of my shizzle. This is part of what I'm meant to be here to do, and to bring beautiful people like you and others that are coming on the podcast to share their beauty with the world. And as someone who's come through closet doors, the hardest thing for anyone, whether you're gay, straight, bisexual, heterosexual, going through cancer, coming through a divorce, going through a job loss, the hardest part of going through those closet doors is realizing when you can walk through those closet doors, your gift to the world will just shine even more. So in that realm, I know there's a piece of the wounding around the little child. And I'd actually like to just really go there again, because I think it'd be really powerful for you to talk to me about my inner little Ricky with some people here listening, so they really get a feel for what this is all about. And I know for me right now, I'm standing in some very powerful places. Mm-hmm. I'm also standing in some really scary spaces, because I'm putting a lot of me on the line by truly being who I am. And sometimes I get really scared. And sometimes I really doubt, should I be doing this? Mm-hmm. But then I suddenly hear something. And I truly think it's the little Ricky that you helped awaken in this. And so what I'm really curious about is, as I stand in these spaces, Robin, and I prepare to make these bigger moves in my life, I don't know where they're going. I don't have any really big grandiose dreams about this, other than I want to do this. I want to do this. Who's really... I guess what I'm trying to add, and I know it's little Ricky showing up a little bit, but who's really coming forward? And I know you're intuitive, and for those of you who can't see what's happening right now, Rob and I can actually see each other. And she's really holding her hand to her heart as I'm talking. So something's coming up for you. So tell me what you're feeling and seeing right now.
I feel, my heart is just pounding, and I feel that sacred space. that we often get into in sessions together, and that deep place. And first of all, just the way your essence was crushed as a boy comes up so powerfully. And so that was the first thing that just took my breath away again. And the difficulty you moved through. And you were a little boy that knew. See, you were very conscious very early. So you were aware of what was happening.
Yep.
And you were aware of your difference. And you were aware of the rejection and the fear that was around you.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see how this is tied to today. Because as you step into bigger and bigger places, you have to heal the flip side of these pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And there has to be a powerful inner adult, you know, the inner strong one, the spark of that divine flame who says, listen, little guy, I love you and I am with you. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to banish you. I'm not going to ignore you. Come take my hand, because we do this together.
And you know, there's something that just came up for me as you were saying that, that I realize it there's a two-way street to this too, that you tell your inner child that you love them and you care and you're not going to let them be hurt by this, but in reverse, that gives the inner child the voice to say right back at you, because I think when we can start to have these dialogues, there's huge power in A, when the healing happens, and B, when the beautiful sharing of your gift, your shizzle, your spark with the world begins to happen. And I'm going to share something that you and I have talked about that I haven't shared until just the last few months. And for those of you who don't know, part of what I do is I speak on stages, and I speak specifically for PFLAG here in Southern California. I go to colleges and universities and speak quite a bit. And as the Just Be You revolution started to really take legs and start to walk and the vision began to gain clarity, I will never forget, it was probably the first week of February. I was at a university, and I have my Just Be You speech, my coming out speech that I use. And halfway through it, I said, but there's a piece of the pie. There's a piece of this story, one of the puzzle pieces, that is very critical to why I'm so proud to be who I am as a gay man. And that piece was when I realized what somebody was doing to me in a sexual abuse sort of way wasn't right. It wasn't what should have been happening. It wasn't the sexual awakening that I should have been experiencing at that point in time in my life. But what it was what I already knew I was. And even though that person had no right to have taken that from me, I also know that's a piece of my story that was when I really knew, this is me. This is me. It's just not the me that should have had to experience this at that age in my life. At 7 years old, I should not have had to experience that. But it wasn't something that I repulsed. It wasn't something that I go, oh, yes, you know, because of that experience, that's what turned me gay. And that so often is what happens in these abused worlds, is people take something like that and go, well, see, now that's why you are who you are. No, it's not. I knew in the moments that stuff like that was happening for me. And notice I said, for me. That was defining who I was supposed to become in my adult life. Not a gay man, because I was already there. But who I was supposed to become was this person who could be strong, who could take these messages and be a torchbearer to say, just being you means sometimes you may, if it fits for you, share some of the biggest, most difficult pieces of your story so that someone else can be served. Not because I want the grandiose applause or anything. There's somebody out there that's going to potentially hear this podcast today whose life will be changed because they realize they too have a voice that can be shared with the world.
Wow. It's amazing.
It is amazing. And, you know, folks that are listening, this is why having people come on to the podcast like this who do this work like Robin does, who aren't gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender, but they have a connection because they too have been through their closets. They too have had dialogue with their younger self to start to really begin to heal the wounding. Because one of the things I know Robin does very powerfully, and I want her to talk about this, is walking through the wounding, but then really owning your spotlight. And I'd love for you to talk a little bit about the spotlights that you help people start to really step into and how they do that to be themselves.
Absolutely. So deep breath. This is an amazing, I love this conversation. What I know about, I'm just going to keep talking to you about your experience.
Yeah.
So what I know about this, and I remember the day you the light dawned. I remember seeing your face.
Yeah.
I remember exactly where we were standing, the conversation, you were speechless then.
Mm-hmm. I was.
Just this entire huge thing where you were like, I am laying down the story that I am a gay man because I was abused or molested, because of this wounding, I became somehow defective.
Right.
You understood in that moment in such a deep, profound, and a cellular way. This is really key to the Shizzle piece. So I'll
Absolutely.
Say a cellular way that I am who I am exactly as I am. And everything that has happened is a part of that consciousness, part of that awakening consciousness. And the moment I lay down my billboard, this is what's wrong with me, people. This mm-hmm. is what I have to keep repenting for. This
exactly.
is what I need to be absolved from. The minute I decide to lay down that story, and it's nobody can do that work alone. It's you need to be in a sacred container to have that. Mm-hmm. Somebody has to be holding you.
Absolutely. And I want to make sure everybody understands that this beautiful piece of somebody holding you, you know, I may not be that person for you. Robin may not be that person for you. We all have our person we find or people that we find. It could be someone who's doing therapy. It could be someone who's a psychologist. It could be another coach who just, maybe they're going to coach you around your business. The beautiful thing about all this that each of us do, and I consider Robin and I both healers, and I don't mean like less, we're laying our hands upon you, and no, we're healers, and there's many different types of healers. But what I know to be true is when you allow yourself to lay down the billboard, as Robin said, and I love that because that's a tweetable right there. Lay down your billboards. I will. Trust me. That'll be part of the tweets. But when we lay down our billboards, we're able to drive on past them.
That's the truth. We stop attending to that. You know, that keeps us in the mode of being stopped there. Our entire life becomes enveloped in this cloak of chaos around that billboard, that story. What's wrong with me? Nobody gets me. I have to apologize for my being.
Mm-hmm.
And I often talk to people about the birth story. This goes back to the inner child.
All right.
Even before you were molested, you had a story about the way you were conceived and the way you were welcomed into the world. I know one big story for me is Robin is difficult because I was a sideways baby and I would not, my mother would say, you would not turn. You would not turn. And so the doctor had to go in and get you.
Right.
And that story, these stories stick to us until we go in and say, I am going to undo the work. Or the person who I spoke to recently who said, I was an accident. And it would cause great shame in my family that my mother was an unwed woman in an era where that was like horrible.
Taboo. Yeah, completely taboo. And it's so interesting because you can see by just what you just said about that person, these are the things we start to carry forward. Even if we think we're
it's
not.
It's unconscious too.
It's very unconscious. Very unconscious.
In the cells, it's in the DNA that are saying, I am so sorry for being born.
Yeah.
I am so sorry for being a problem. And we end up manifesting the opposite, right? We become, my experience is I was late, I would get lost, I was difficult. Everywhere I tried to enter, I was a problem.
Right, right.
Until one day I was like, I'm laying down the billboard. You know, my mom, bless her, but she was wounded.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I think this is,
you know,
this is so interesting because so many of the people I end up working with because of my experience are people who've been married and they come out of the closet later in life. And their billboards are, oh, I have to carry this guilt and shame because I really lied to my spouse. I wasn't truthful. And I always get to a place in the work with them where I say, you know, one of these days, you're going to pack up that last piece of Louis Vuitton luggage and fill it full of your guilt and shame. And you're going to send it on a trip. Because there will reach a place, and God knows I love my ex-wife. I care about her deeply, but there came a point where I finally had to say, and I literally had to say to her, I no longer can carry the guilt and shame that you want to put upon me for ruining your life.
Right. Every victim.
And that's a tough talk. That's a very tough talk to have. But when you release that, and when you step forward into that beautiful stuff, then that's when you begin to shine the spotlight on your truest self. That's when you start to go into a place of really being versus trying to do. That's when you really begin to vacate the headspaces that need room to grow other things in your life so that you can finally say, I am who I am exactly as I am.
That's right. So I know you want me to talk about Shizzle.
I do want to talk about Shizzle. I want to talk about your inner child stuff that you do with the work in there. Actually, folks, when the show page is up, you'll be able to click through to, you know, look deeper at her inner child work. But let's talk a little bit more about Shizzle, and then I've got a couple of quick questions for you before we wind it up.
So I know that these gifts, these nuggets you retrieve in childhood, just look at the power of you realizing what you just shared with everybody. I need to release this billboard and have deep compassion for myself for all the years I believed that was true.
Yep.
All the time I spent defending, denying, excusing, apologizing. OMG, where is the love and compassion for the little boy who was abused and then carried the shame, the collective shame of his family and the, I'm so sorry I'm gay. Oh, or the collective shame that the family carries, like somebody made him gay, right? It's like, it's huge. If you sit with that, it is huge. So you have done this beautiful healing work. And I want to say, it wasn't like I pressed on your belly button and you were all fixed. This is the conversation we're going to continue to have over perhaps a lifetime.
Yeah.
And we should all be okay with that. You know, this is part of the self-love. It's like, I need help getting to where I am. I need help seeing myself.
But I love that you bring up the self-love piece because so many of us don't know how to do that piece. But the minute we realize maybe the self-love is just saying, I need help.
Yeah, I need help.
And I know that sounds really big at times to some people, but sometimes when you can just swallow the pride, swallow your ego and go, I need help. I need help. And it may come from something really deep, like, you know, sexual abuse, or it may come like today, I'm saying, I need help to get all these podcasts recorded and edited and all that, whatever it may be in our life journey. It could be, I need help getting dinner made, damn it. And can somebody just come help me? Okay, then say it. But it's about opening up. And, you know, we both, you know, I know we're both adoring fans of Brené Brown and her vulnerability stuff, but that really is what this work begins to be from, is a point of vulnerability and saying, okay, I can't do this by myself.
Hey, that's beautiful what you just said. And I was just talking to my last client, a sweet man. I work with a lot of men. And he said, I shouldn't need you to help me do this. And I said, who told you that? I shouldn't need you to help me do this? You know, I get it, though. But I will say that we all have a story like that because guess what? The people who hurt us in our most vulnerable times, they were not people in the ring doing this work. To use Brené, you brought Brené. Those were not people in the ring.
Yep.
So you really need to tell yourself, and this is what I tell myself. I tell little Robin, I have had the same healer going on 7 years now, every other week.
Yep.
I'm no fool. I'm not going to try and do this on my own anymore.
No, it doesn't make sense.
So you say to yourself, listen, kiddo, you were hurt by people who were not in the ring. You were made fun of and teased and name called by people who were not in the ring, people who are not doing the work you are doing. Yep. You do not take your cues about who you are from those people anymore.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Like a policy. So then you look to people to help you who are in the ring, people who are not afraid to tell you, I'm on the journey too.
Yep.
That sounds like me and you. That was a good plug for me and you, but this is the truth.
Well, it may sound like a plug, but if it's sounding like a plug to someone, then that's how they
see
it.
That's their thing.
That's their thing, and I'm okay with that. But, you know, back to your client, I love what you just said about, he goes, I shouldn't need you to do this.
I shouldn't need you to help me do this.
Yeah, and you know, interestingly enough, of course, you know, me, Mr. Coach Hedge, is like you. It's like the first question that started going across my mind was, and why shouldn't you? Why shouldn't you need me?
Exactly.
Because that's a really, you know, when you finally start asking the why questions, you get to, okay, maybe they feel that they're not good enough. Maybe they feel not confident enough. Maybe they feel like I'm a man. Hello, men, gay or otherwise, all have that masculine energy of, I should be able to pound my chest and do this on my own.
Me, you know? Me, manly. Yeah.
And I come across this all the time in my work with gay men. It's a really big piece of it. Well, I should be able to do this, or I should be able to date a guy and really make it work. Really? Who taught you how to do that? Nobody. Right. Nobody taught us how to date somebody of the same sex, let alone whoever was teaching us how to do it with the opposite sex. They probably
healthy
weren't doing a really great. Yeah. Healthy relationships alone. Yeah, exactly. That wasn't in my high school, you know.
My dad had four wives. I have been through like divorce and remarriage and divorce and remarriage. And
that right there, just those pieces of sharing that sort of stuff is, again, a perfect purview of what somebody's closet looks like. You know, coming through the closet of having, you know, four different stepmoms, whether you call them that or not, you know, there's closets we're all going through. So really quick before we wind this up, and man, I wish we had more time because we
could
do this.
Feel free to do a two-parter. This is me just...
Yeah. So here's what I'd love to talk about just a little bit. You have the inner child download thing on your website. Talk a little bit about what somebody will see when they click on that button on my website and go over to be a part of that. What is it they get to experience by doing that?
So first of all, you can totally circumvent all of that and work with me one-to-one. I'm not saying you have to do this download thing. Yep. Because this is pretty big and deep sacred work.
Yep.
And if this is the time, this is the time. But the download is an email series that I wrote from my heart to your heart, from my little girl to your little boy or girl. And it's a sincere, loving, healing offering. There is some information about how to set up a sacred altar for your little kid, your inner kid, so that you can go and sit and start to unpack some of these stories. There is some artwork, because as you said, I'm an artist as well. I love to do the art for my blog posts and things, so I did some healing art around my little girl, because I, you know, a lot of stuff happened to me under the age of five, where I was basically terrified every single day, as you can imagine, with all the different rotating people in and out of my life. And
sure,
I was, you know, left for long stretches of time with strangers. And so I start working on that. So I'll take you through some art projects.
Mm-hmm.
There is a healing meditation that I offer, you know. So it's just this 5 email series.
It's beautiful. I can contest it's beautiful, folks. It's something really, really cool that you will not be sorry that you signed up for, that you get in the email. You'll love every piece of it. And so, as you know, Robin, this is the Coming Out Lounge. So one of the things I always ask at the very end of our time is, you know, if you could give a piece of advice to someone who's coming out of a closet, whether they're gay, straight, bisexual, whomever, if you could give them a piece of advice for really walking through those closet doors to really step into a different space, what would that one little gem of wisdom be that you could impart on us as we wrap up the podcast today?
Because everyone's like, you did not talk about the shizzle lady. You guys are in so many amazing things, but you didn't mention the shizzle. It is this, the thing that you're most terrified of staying, it was never you. It was never true. It was never real. You are a spark of the divine, and there is something only you can bring, whether people get it or not. Because you know what? Not everybody is going to get you. That's something you just need to accept right now. Mm-hmm. Not everybody's going to get you. You're not here for everybody. But there are people in the world who need what you have to offer. And if you don't step through the door of the closet, and if you continue to worship at the altar of I'm such a whatever,
right,
we all miss out on your shine. So yeah, there are gifts tied to the wounding, that the things you desperately long for, they're on the other side of that door.
Mm, that's powerful. So I want to say one more thing about Ron, because she brought it up. I think this is really powerful when you realize there are certain people you're destined to work with. And yeah, this is why I bring different people into the program, because I know that not everybody is a match for me. And I also know that what Robin does is not the work I will do. I may touch it in some way,
right,
but when it comes to this other stuff, she's a master at this that I could never do in the kind of work I'm doing. But then there's stuff that I do that I know I'm a master at in what I'm doing. So this is where we bring the beautiful gifts. So if you wanted to do some work with Robin, her website is robinhallett.com, correct?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. RobinHallett, right?
Brilliant. Yep.
Yep.
That's
And that is her. And go there. If nothing else, you will be delighted by the beauty and the artwork and everything that's there. But I think you might find yourself going, I want some more of this. So, and you know what? As we wind everything up, if you really feel pulled to step into your inner child, and you felt that today you've heard something that really moved you and sparked you, sparked your divine, we would both love it if you'd go give us a little bit of love over on iTunes or Stitcher or SoundCloud, however you're accessing this, and just tell us what you thought of the podcast today. And also, if you feel really moved, there's going to be some powerful tweets, I can already tell you, coming out of my Twitter account with this show. But if you like what you heard, go over there, join us, join me at Rick Clemens on Twitter, and I believe Robin's is at Robin Hallett.
Yeah,
on Twitter, right?
Though so I'm more tweeting out in the universe.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. I know. She is. She's flying out there in the universe. So,
yeah.
And with that, I just want to say thank you, Robin, for being here today and sharing your beautiful self, your courage, your beautiful insights, your shizzle, your inner wisdom with all of us. And it's been a real blessing to have you on the show today.
I love you, little Ricky. You're a good
I love
boy.
You, little Robin. And with that, folks, we're going to say don't ever stop letting your inner child shine. And we want you to go out there and never stop stepping out, stepping up, and stepping in to living your powerful shizzle truth. Until next time, have a great day.
Thank you for joining us today with the Coming Out Lounge with your host, Rick Clemens. Make sure you tune in with us next week, same time, same place, for the Coming Out Lounge.